That Elizabeth had gave. You can keep playing. That just makes me feel so good. So, This was a word that she preached in Sausalito like a couple of months ago, right? And I don't really remember her sermon too much, but I remember a key point that she said, and I feel like what she said is being released right now in this atmosphere. And what she had said was, I think he was speaking about Abraham, right? And she had said something about how Abraham stepped into his destiny when he realized the moment, the shift, when he realized what God was doing for him. So I can preach up a great sermon, but I would be doing that for you. But I just want to enjoy what God is doing for us. Say, I had a word all prepared. I studied. I hit the books.
Hey, I wanted to sing Angels Under Sing too, but I knew it wasn't.
So Father, you know what? I was watching football on Sunday morning. At 10 o'clock with Jesus, because he has children in the NFL. So I'm on the couch watching my 49ers get spanked, right? Yikes. 49ers, they're called the 49ers, right? Because in 1949 there was a gold rush, right? Oh, 1849.
Oh, Jesus!
1849, there was a gold rush. And the gold was somehow found in San Francisco. And so that's what the Niners need right now. They need a gold rush right now. Because they're not looking too good. But anyways, I was watching this commercial. And when I was watching this commercial, it was a video of a bunch of men in different sports. I don't know if y'all seen this commercial, right? And it would show a video of them scoring a touchdown or hitting a puck inside a goal or scoring a goal on soccer. I mean, it was all these different sports. And as soon as the man would score this point, they would raise their hands up like this. And you know how usually in commercials they have a guy narrating in the background. And it was showing all these guys who were lifting their hands. As soon as they scored a touchdown, they would run and they would lift their hands, right? A dude would score a goal and they would run and they would lift their hands and you would see them going like this, right? All psyched out, all juiced up. And the guy in the narrating in the background, he says, lifting of the hands is a universal language. This is a secular commercial. This is a secular commercial. Okay, now I'm a firm believer that God speaks in other ways besides the word. So I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like, God, what are you saying? Lifting of the hands is a universal language of what? Of celebration. So everybody lift their hands and celebrate the goodness of God. Father, we celebrate you, Father. We celebrate the goodness of our God. We celebrate the goodness of our God.
Celebration in the heavens. Celebration in the heavens. Celebration in the heavens. Celebration in the heavens.
Ha!
celebration here in our presence. Celebration in the heavens, yeah.
You know what's funny is last night as I was studying, anytime I'm like in the kingdom, right, and I'm doing anything for God or whatever, for the kingdom, like when it comes to assignments, when it comes to speaking or whatever, right, the moment I feel like it's a grind, I stop doing it. Because I'm like, God, I know with Christ living in me, I know with the finished works of the cross, there's no grind. So the moment I start feeling the grind, I just stop doing whatever I'm doing. So if I'm praying, you know, a lot of times, you know, people pray and sometimes they don't feel the presence of God, or they don't feel, you know, just God really working, and they keep saying push through. And I'm a firm believer, push through. But that's just not in my DNA to push through. So last night as I was studying, I was getting all this stuff almost to the point where it was hurting my brain. Seriously, like God is so good that when he drops you a nugget, my heart receives it, but my brain has a hard time wrapping around it. And so I'm getting all this stuff and I'm reading the word and I'm like, God, this is hurting my brain. I can't even think right now. I just need to stop reading this Bible. So I closed it up, watched the Giants game, and they won. We in a pennant race. They won the game. Praise God. But there is no grind in the kingdom. There is no grind in the kingdom. Shoot. I was like, God, this is beginning to get too hard for me. And God says, well, then you don't do it. Because I want to make this easy for you, son. I don't want to do. I don't want you to do anything that where you feel like you're gonna have to work for it, or you feel like you're gonna have to try harder. Because God is not that kind of father. God is not in the business of trying to measure how aggressive I can be. You know, I used to be part of certain doctrines where the doctrine would say, hey, it's all about you being tenacious and you being aggressive and you being just don't stop and don't quit. And so when I came to serving God, I was like, I had this mindset, I gotta be aggressive. I gotta be tenacious. I can't be no quitter. And guess what? It got exhausting. It got exhausting. So the moment I feel like something is trying to work inside of me that says, okay, try a little harder this time, I say, nope, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because check this out. God, right, he endured the cross, the Bible says, right? Got buried after his crucifixion and then resurrected. Now, what's Jesus doing in heaven right now? That boy is sitting down. That boy is sitting down. You know, we got the body of Christ in panic while Jesus is sitting down. Sitting at the right hand of the Father. So,
he was sleeping on the boat.
Come on, that boy was sleeping on the boat. You know what? I wrote something on my Facebook the other day because, you know, we preach on Jesus calming the storm. I was like, what about preaching when Jesus was sleeping through the storm? Like, shoe fly, don't bother me. and we look at that, scripture, and we think that it was Jesus trying to teach on authority, when really Jesus was trying to teach his disciples to relax. Say yes to rest.
Shabbat.
To chill. To just take a chill pill. Whoa.
That's good.
I will share what I felt God did give me for tonight. And it was the story of Abraham. And when we look at the story of Abraham, right, we look at the story, and God had blessed him with the promised child of Isaac. And the scriptures say that God had commanded him to sacrifice his son. So without even a blink, without even a question in his mind, he goes and does it because of his relationship with the Father. And so he's with his son, he's talking to his servants, and check this out, here's an indication of his faith. He tells his servants, is asking, hey, where are you guys going, what are you guys doing? And Abraham tells them what they're going to do, and he says, hey, we'll be back. We'll be back. I thought he just commanded Abraham to kill his son. Or to kill, that's kind of a tough word. Sacrifice, a better word. To sacrifice his son. So Abraham is walking with his son Isaac up to the top of the mountain. I think it is. I don't even know. He just went somewhere to go sacrifice his son. And I wonder if Isaac was tripping. Right, because he's carrying the wood, and he knows having a sacrifice requires a sacrifice or a lamb, right? And Isaac is holding on the wood, and he's walking with his dad, and he's like, Pops, hey, I know I may not be the brightest kid, but where's the sacrifice at? And here's another indication of his faith. He says, son, the Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. So, then if I'm Isaac, I'm still tripping, because at this point, I'm the one laying down. I thought my daddy just said that there was going to be, that God was going to provide the sacrifice, but here I am carrying the wood, laying down, right? So he's laying down. And Abraham is getting ready to slay his son. And all of us, he was so convinced in his mind that this was going to happen that an angel had to say his name twice. He was so convinced. He said, Abraham. It wasn't just Abraham. And then he looked up. He was like, Abraham. Abraham, I'm trying to get your attention. You don't have to touch that boy. He was really going to do it. And I wonder if he would have really gone through if the angel just said it one time. He was so convinced in his mind that the angel had to say his name twice just to get his attention. And the angel gives him this blessing. And he says, the Father has seen that there is nothing that you will withhold from him. And because of this, you will be blessed. So then in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so sacrifice leads to great blessings. And then I read the New Testament. New Testament, man, it just shakes up everything, right? The New Covenant. The New Covenant. You know, you have the Old Testament says, hey, follow the law. And then New Testament is Jesus said, hey, I follow the law for you. Right? Jesus said, hey, I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. Wow. You know what that means? Because Elizabeth was saying earlier, we reap what we do not sow. That means that we reap what he sowed. And in the Old Testament, the only way to receive the promises of God were if you were to follow the law. Because the Bible says, blessed is the man who keeps the law. Blessed is the man who preserves the law in his heart. Blessed is the man who meditates on the law day and night. Psalms 1. And so you think, okay, the law is, you got to follow the law in order to receive the promises of God. But people were falling short of the law, right? So there was a lack of the promises of God because they weren't able to keep the law. So then Jesus comes on the scene and he says, my people, I know this law thing is kind of hard. So guess what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the one to fulfill the law so you can receive the promises of God. Because if you're going to try to follow the law, man, good luck. You're going to come short every time. But here, I'm going to do it. And every blessing, every promise, every inheritance, everything. That's why the Bible says we're co-heirs. We have what we did not sow. We have what we did not work for. I'm reading the New Testament. And all of a sudden, the scriptures say that righteousness was credited to Abraham because he believed. Well, what did he believe? When he was about to sacrifice Isaac, what was he believing? God would provide. Here's his belief. In Hebrews, rock my world when I read this. In Hebrews, it's talking about the faith of Abraham, right? And it says that because of the faith of Abraham, God blessed him. Because he figured something within himself. He figured to himself that God would raise Isaac from the dead. So check this out. So Abraham seen a resurrection before he ever even seen a resurrection. This boy sees a resurrection before he has ever even experienced, ever even logically thought about, ever even witnessed, seen it. He was blessed because of his faith, not solely on his sacrifice. Yeah, his sacrifice was good. But God was more pleased with the fact that Abraham had faith. You know, the Bible says that God was testing Abraham. In my opinion, it was almost like Abraham was testing God. You want me to sacrifice my son? You're the one that gave me the promise, God. But okay, you want me to do it? Because I still believe that somehow I'm going to receive the blessings on my genealogy, on my bloodline. I'm still going to receive this even if I sacrifice my son. Why? Because I believe you're going to raise him from the dead. You know what God did on the cross? He removed sacrificial Christianity. That's what he removed. The lamb was slain once and for all. One time for all. Not just once.
This boy's killing it.
Not just once for all. One time for all. One time for all. God is not in sacrificial Christianity. I'll tell you why. That when, remember in Matthew 6 when Jesus is preaching on giving, fasting, and praying, he says, when you give, I don't even want you to remember it. He says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Don't look at this like a sacrifice. Don't look at this like you're doing something for the Lord. I don't want you to remember what you're doing for me. Because it never been about sacrifice. It never been about works. Never been about works. When he's talking about praying, he says, when you pray, don't pray like the pagans who think they're heard for their many words. We have the mindset in the body of Christ that when we come into that, when we go in our closet, we gotta say, right, just pray all this stuff. And that's good. Jesus was saying, but don't think the measure of how many words you have moves the kingdom. He says, don't think, don't think you're heard for your many words. I already hear you, even if you didn't say a nada. I was so excited to say that I almost slipped up. Got me on camera. Oh yeah, broadcast, I'm sorry. Hey, happy birthday, Dominic. Dominic's birthday tomorrow. Dominic, we love you, man.
We love you.
Amen.
Yeah, you will get that computer. Shabba. We love you, man. But it's never been about works. It's never been about sacrifice. You know, the problems with sacrifice is this. It's that, and I like how Ben Dunn said it. It said that works is trying to gain God's approval apart from faith. Apart from faith. And that's what Abraham had, was his faith. It wasn't solely his sacrifice. And I might just go to it just because we were talking about it. Is that cool, Serge? You know, and I was just digging up Hebrews, and Hebrews was talking about Abel's offering and the difference between Abel's and Cain's, and how God looked on Abel's offering with favor. He enjoyed his offering. But then he looked at Cain's offering and not so much. In my message version, you know, when I look at that story, I look at that story like, okay, well, so was it that sheep was better than fruits? But then I'm reading the message version, and it said that it was not what he brought that God looked favor on him, but it was what he believed. So then that means that Cain thought it was what he brought than what he believed. Right? Cain came and brought his offering and said, God, I'm going to bring this. Check this out. He was a farmer. And he brought the produce from his ground, from the ground, from his own hands. And so his attitude was, God, I'm going to bring this offering, and I'm giving this to you, and this is coming from my hand, Lord. This is coming from my energy, God. This is coming from my sacrifice, Lord. This is coming from my sweat, Lord. So God, you better enjoy this offering. And the father was like, son, I love you, son, but I'm not really into this offering here. Because God is not into us having to gain his approval by what we do. By what we do. And Cain came with the attitude of, God, you better bless me because this is what I did. This is what I did. And you know what's crazy is that God looks on Abel's offering with favor, and Cain gets mad. Cain gets jealous. That's how you know it was works, because he tried to measure what he did by what Abel did. And works will always try to find a measure, a measuring stick, a standard. It will always try to find something to compare itself to. Works does that. Sacrifice does that. It's, I'm doing all this for you, God. So why are you blessing him and he didn't even do nothing? You know why we're envied? You know why we're envied by the fathers of the Old Testament? It's because they wish they can see what we see now, and that is the fulfillment of Christ. They envy us because we did not have to lift a finger. The parable of the workers in the vineyard. the parable of the workers in the vineyard. God comes and he says, hey, if you agree to work for me, I'll give you a denarii. 2 hours later, he sees some other people that are not working. He says, hey, come work for me. I'll give you a denarii. And then he goes, after 6 hours later, he sees other people that are still not working. And he says, hey, come work for me. I'll give you a denarii. And then at the end of the day, when it was time to pay everybody, he gives the guys that have been working for 2 hours a denarii. And then the people that got hired first thought that they would get more. And they get mad. They get mad at the master, at the foreman, and says, hey, you paid them a denarii. We worked longer. We worked harder. We sweat more. We've been in the sun. I got a tan line on the back of my neck right now. And you mean to say I only got one denarii? And then the foreman says, hey, did you not agree to one denarii? And what's crazy is the workers thought that they would get paid more by working longer, not knowing that the reward came by their agreement with the foreman. He said, we agree on a denarii. We agree on a denarii. We agree on this one penny. And they thought that their reward would be measured by their time, not knowing that the reward was measured by the agreement, by the relationship. Here's my beautiful girlfriend sitting right here, right? Wave, put your hand in the air real quick. Okay. She's working. Now imagine if we were to get married. Right, when people get married, you get a joint account. Right, you join accounts. It just makes sense. Basically, it's except some marriages, like my money, honey. You know. And imagine if she came to me and said, hey, you know, now that we're married and I have this money saved up and I'm working for this money, let's see how well you can perform, and then maybe you can share my estate. No. As soon as we agree to say I do, everything that belongs to her belongs to me. I don't have to work for what she's working for. And see, that's and everything that's mine belongs to her. I make sure I gotta say that, because the people on the internet might think I'm a little sexist, and I'm not. Whatever I have, baby, is yours. Okay, I love you. Blessing does not come from how much we work. Our blessing came from the agreement of saying, God, you are my Lord and Savior. See, God will bless your sacrifice. Oh, we got the little chitlins in here. Hey. Show. God will bless your sacrifice, but sacrifice is not why you're blessed. God will bless your sacrifice, but sacrifice is not why you're blessed. You're blessed because you came into agreement with him about that sacrifice.